Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
This is our very last Taylor Talk of the year. And before we get into it, we would just like to do a little plug of our Patreon, patreon.com/swiftologist. Haven't done it in a while. If you're interested in hearing more regularly from the snakes, you can hear from us on a weekly basis on the Patreon. We do all sorts of fun events. Come and join the Discord. It is the coolest place on the internet for more analytical and unfiltered conversations about the life and times of Taylor Swift and so much more. So hope to see you there. And this is Taylor Talk. And if you aren't familiar, the snakes have been on a very, very brief hiatus, a short internet cleanse and detox. And what happened in that time? The world caught fire. The Taylor Nation went up in flames. And we were there not to bear witness, but to be passersby, ships passing in the night. But now we are here to report to you on the various events. You know what also struck me, Madeline? That this is our last Taylor Talk of the year.
2023 is coming to a close, and I have to tell you, as a snake, as a member of the Snake Nation, as a Swiftie, as a member of the Swiftie Nation, this year has been, in a word, shocking. Shocking. And that's not even to mention
beyond my wildest dreams.
Beyond anything that I could have possibly imagined at this stage in the Swiftie career. I have to tell you, this year has been bonkers to be a Swiftie. In good ways and bad ways. In good ways and
I
bad
started
ways.
Out, yeah, in good ways and bad ways. I started out this year thinking, as I have been thinking since Lover came out, basically, that the most exciting years of Taylor Swift's personal life were like well and truly behind us. That the girl boss, the ITGIRL, that all of this was a thing of the past and that we had grown up and become granny. And you know what? That's not the case.
No.
It's not.
She's addicted.
The case.
She's addicted. She has to be bejeweled. She has to be bejeweled. That's all there is to it.
She can't stop.
She cannot.
It's literally bejeweled 24/7. Yep. Intravenous bejeweled. Like every minute of the day, she's bejeweled. And sometimes, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be bejeweled. What about that?
I think, Zach, you just bring up a very valid point. Sometimes you have to put the jewels away. Sometimes you have to put
them
away.
You just need a simple gown.
And mm-mm. I'm really hoping.
We don't need to be doing.
I'm really hoping that these next couple of months, while she's not on tour, during the holidays, et cetera, et cetera, she puts the jewels away. She puts them in a drawer. Took her jewels and put them in a drawer, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Because that's what.
Let them rest.
Yeah.
And let us rest.
Yeah, we need a break. They need a break. The haters, the naysayers, they definitely. They're thirsty and they need a mm-hmm. break. And we. Oh my God.
They're searching for blood and we need to hide the queen.
Yeah.
We need to protect the queen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We need to get her in the castle. Yep. The moat comes up.
Yep.
The crocodiles get starved, so they're hungry.
Yep.
And she stays in there like Rapunzel. And there will be no hair out the window, people climbing up it at night. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Locked
no, no.
up, Locked key up. Thrown away, strapped in a closet. Goodbye.
I don't even want to see her ass at the football games. I have to be honest with you. I need her to pack it up. Because mm-mm. people are getting really tired of that. If you're not Tavis pilled, like I
don't care about it now.
Oh, you're not Tavis pilled anymore. I'm pilled. I'm still mm-mm. pilled. I'm Tavis pilled. But like, mm-mm. if you're not, and you're like, or, and if you're not even like a casual Taylor Swift fan, that is probably driving you fucking bananas. And it's like, reel it in.
Yeah.
We need it reeled. We need it reeled immediately.
I think a lot of people are also pretending to be Swifties. And that scares me more than people hating her. Because this is my culture. It's not your costume, you know? Like, you can't just put the Swiftie hood up and mask. Can't put the Swiftie skin suit on and pretend that you're one of us. Because I know.
We can tell.
This Chris Olsen person on TikTok, not to randomly just attack someone, but come on.
Full name
for clout.
And where you can
Chris
find him.
Olsen.
Not that I'm attacking him.
I'm coming for you every day for the rest of my life. And do you remember this? This is a very niche reference, but Dana Schwartz, she was like a Twitter journalist that was really coming after Taylor's ass back in the day.
She's
the biggest Swiftie of all time. Yeah.
Did you see that?
She's talking about ketchup and ranch.
Did you see that Colleen Ballinger is a fucking Swiftie now too?
Yeah.
See, this is what happens.
Did I see that?
We need to close ranks. We're closing ranks. In That's the enough. Castle. We have plenty.
Moat.
There are plenty of Swifties.
Crocodiles hungry.
Swiftieism is full. I hear no Gracie more. Abrams is really nice. Let's go. Come on.
That's it. That's it. Period. We're done. She needs it. She needs the streams. Go give your stream somewhere where they're useful.
Sabrina
okay?
needs it. Sabrina
She's
needs
the
it
top global artist. Sabrina, give it to her. You know, give it to Tate McRae. She doesn't need it because she's slaying. But give it to her.
And they hate her for that. And they hate her for that. But you know what? And they hate her she's my queen.
She has one good song. I clap. And everybody wants to throw that against her.
Yeah. Well,
that's not fair. She has 2 minutes and 27 seconds of excellence to her name. And that's enough.
That's enough for me.
It's more than any person could
that's
ever
enough
want.
That's enough for me.
it's great for me.
Yep.
Sadly, this is not Evolution of Tate McRae. This is Evolution of Taylor Swift, I suppose. So I guess we can start with, I mean, I am the king of a jarring transition, apparently. So let's just do a jarring transition. We will start with what is probably our most requested topic to discuss, which was the debacle and fiasco that was the Eras Tour coming to Brazil. I don't think any of us expected what was such an exciting and historic moment for such a big, enthusiastic, and lively part of the fandom. I don't think anybody was expecting that to turn into such a tragedy. And I don't want to like mark all of the shows with what happened. I think it was night one. It was night one, right, in Rio. But I have to say that it does leave a bit of a stain on the Eras Tour in general. And I think that this is like a very negative consequence of what Taylor's overexposure is looking like at the moment. People should not be dying at the Eras Tour. It really broke my heart when I read about this. So if you don't know, the heat index inside the stadium in Rio reached 140 degrees and the venue did not open their air vents. They also prevented fans from bringing their own water in and overcharged for the water that was available in the stadium. Many people were passing out and needing to be taken out in the middle of the show, which I think is pretty commonplace for any general admission show, specifically ones of this nature where people camp out for days in advance. But what was extremely disheartening and completely tragic was the death of Ana Clara Benavides Mikado. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly, but she was a beautiful 23-year-old girl who very sadly and tragically lost her life at the Eras Tour. I saw a photo of her in her Eras Tour outfit at the barricade. Oh my God, I'm like tearing up thinking about it. It is...
Just seeing the picture like of her, like, in her outfit, just like anybody else going to the Eras Tour, you know what I mean? Like, that is the most classic Eras Tour picture. She had on her, you know, glittery outfit and her friendship bracelets, and she looked just like any other Swiftie going to the Eras Tour.
She was ready for the night of her life.
She was ready for the night of her life.
That's what she was expecting.
Smiling, and it's just, like, to think that it was only, like, a couple hours later that she was having one of the worst times of probably the worst time of her life. And then all the people, all the fans around her were suffering and needing water, and that security did absolutely nothing for them. It's just like crazy to me to even conceptualize the just bummer of the century.
And seeing Taylor on stage trying to kind of like mitigate what was going on.
Yeah.
I could see her in real time, like trying to process and understand what was happening. And the thing is that I know that the traditional wisdom and convention in situations like this is actually stopping makes it a lot worse. Like going off stage, creating pandemonium and making people angry is quite a bad thing to do in that scenario. I think we have good examples of this at like Woodstock 99. Like when you try and stop the show to get order in the crowd, that usually doesn't end very well. And I think that it just wasn't clear to anyone other than security who should have been doing their goddamn jobs. It wasn't clear to anyone other than them how bad the situation was. I mean, this is a really difficult topic to discuss because there are so many moving parts to it. And I think that, you know, it's very easy to look back retroactively and say, well, X person should have done this. This party should have done that. You know, this, that, and the other thing. I think that we can quite confidently and squarely place blame on the promoters of this event. I think it's been discussed that they have a history of being pretty shady and being difficult to work with. And their behavior throughout this entire debacle, like the way they handled it, was horrible. And obviously, I think there's been two extreme reactions as well when it comes to Taylor. We've had people be like, this is completely Taylor's fault, and this she has not handled it properly. And then we've also had, which you touched on, Madeline, when we were talking before we recorded, we've had people completely centering Taylor in the narratives about this show and making it about her mental health and her well-being, etc. And like, of course that did cross my mind, because this is the worst thing that could ever happen to her. Yep. as an artist. She loves her fans. At the end of the day, like, even though some of it is contrived and like it does feel like a PR effort, like, I think that a fan dying at one of her shows is literally one of her worst nightmares. So I can imagine this was very devastating for her.
Not to even mention, like, the video that I'm thinking of right now is when she was doing, I think it was Bejeweled. And after the song ended, you could tell really, really struggling. And in that moment, it seemed like she knew that she might pass out and was just doing everything that she could to not pass out. And like, she's the performer. I mean, she's up there, but she hasn't had a team of people to get her water, to make sure she was doing okay. I'm sure she was doing a liquid IV, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that in that moment, like, if you were in that crowd, I don't know if you would feel like Taylor is the most the person who suffered the most from the heat that night is what I'm getting at. Do you know what I mean? Like, did you watch the TikTok mm-hmm. of the kid? This is like the only I was there that night full like story that I've seen. It was this kid on TikTok, and he was talking about how even after he had passed out, like literally passed out, and there are people all around him trying to help him, he was like, I need water. And they were like, well, you have to pay for it. As he's laying on the ground, passed out, you have to pay for water. $10 or whatever it was, which is crazy.
For
to
those
me.
Tiny little bottles as well.
Yeah, for those like, tiny this
is,
bottles.
Inhumane is literally the right word. Like, inhumane. And the thing is, like, these were all kids basically as well. Like, that is what's so messed up about it.
Overwhelmingly
like,
children.
These kids.
Yeah.
They don't know, like, they're not gonna not line up. They're not gonna not try and be in the front row because it's hot. That's just
exactly. And it's like, I don't even know
the way that the teenage brain works.
I don't even know how to keep myself from being dehydrated in that kind of heat. There were people like sharing information on it, and I was like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that if you put a little bit of salt in your water,
it's also challenging enough to keep hydrated in a, like, at a show that's that long to begin with, when water's readily available. It's right. even harder
exactly.
to do it
yep.
when you're stuck in general admission and the heat index is 140 degrees. I have to say, one of my like resounding thoughts was, who the hell thought that general admission would be a good idea? Who said yes to that? Because that to me seems like a mistake that could very well end up being serious and consequential. I mean, Europe gets extremely hot in the summer as well, and she's doing stadiums in France. I mean, London can get really hot too in August. Like, the heat levels in the world generally have gotten a lot worse mm-hmm. since the last time Taylor was on tour, and she's doing venues that are a lot bigger. And to have so many shows be GA next year, it makes me nervous after seeing what happened in Brazil.
Especially, like, not to even mention, like, Taylor Mania and just, like, how hard people go for getting as close as they can to the stage. Of course, that's true at every show. But I think that there's definitely a level of, first of all, proving that you were at Barricade. Also, like, being the best fan and just, like, being obsessed with Taylor. You have to get to the front. You do anything, you know, you press up against all these people. I mean, again, it goes back to, like, what do kids know and what don't they know? I don't know a lot of kids that think about crowd crush very often or think about dehydration.
And why should they? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm 27 years old and I don't know about these things.
So it's
– although I did take a rehydration Sol before we went to the Eras tour. I did do that. But that's just because I'd be getting headaches. I wouldn't have –
that was our biggest concern. Our privileged biggest concern was a headache.
Foot hurt.
At the Eras tour.
Foot hurt.
Blister.
And headache.
Blister and headache. So to put like our –
and those should be your only concerns
precisely.
At the Eras tour. Your only
foot
concern
hurt.
Should be I dance so much
having
that I'm in pain.
Fun.
And I rattle my brain around in my head too much. That should really be – those are the two issues that you have. So we obviously want to take a moment to acknowledge Anna's memory. It is truly tragic and upsetting that this happened. And I really did feel for the Brazilian fans as well because – to have this happen the first night of Taylor's first ever full show in Brazil. Yeah. I mean, it. She still ended up like putting on a series of great shows. Yeah. And Taylor invited Anna's family to the last stop of the Eras Tour in Sao Paulo. And I believe from what I've seen from a Brazilian newspaper that reported this, she covered the cost of their expenses and also contributed a donation. I know that there was a lot of upset and outrage. Well, I know this because I was receiving 100 million DMs about it when I was on my vacation. That...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Brazilian fans were very upset because there are cultural nuances to, I read there was a cultural nuance to death and to dying in Brazil, that when someone dies, they need to be acknowledged very quickly and it needs to be like kind of a dramatic acknowledgement of their memory. I don't know if that is just something that someone said to me or if that's actually true, but I can definitely see that there are cultural nuances to the Brazilian part of the fandom that are not able to be understood by those of us that don't engage in that fan culture.
Right.
Because they have such a specific way of going about like showing their enthusiasm and love for the artists that they support. It's a different culture for sure. But it was, I was a little bit shocked by how quickly it turned to Taylor has done nothing and she's evil. I did see a lot of that, a lot of demanding Taylor to do this, that, and the other thing. And I just, at that point, like, I don't want to be the person that centers Taylor, and I really have tried not to be. But at that moment, I was like, I cannot imagine what I would do if I was her. Like, I could not think of a right move. People kept saying to me, like, what's your take? Like, only you can give us the, like, the real tea. You and Madeline need to say, like, what should have been. And it's like, I have no idea what I would have done in that scenario, how I would have handled it. Think about all the things that Taylor was having to contend with. I mean, one would be the fact that she still had to go and do like six more shows after that first show. She had to reschedule one and then go and do what, three or four more other shows. Summoning the emotional strength to do that must have been very challenging. That is nothing compared to the emotional strength that Anna's family must have had to muster to deal with this complete and utter tragedy. But I can imagine that that was a difficult decision for her to make. She had to draw on her inner resources for that. And I also would imagine that because this promoter was promoting the rest of her shows, she still had to work with them for at least another week. Like, she couldn't go scorched earth and start talking about it. What I think is, and then there was the criticisms about her not saying Anna's name on stage. And I was like, well, she said in her Instagram story, I don't think I can do that without going on with the show. And at the end of the day, she has to finish the rest of the shows for all the other fans that are there. I mean, it was just between rock and a hard place.
It's also, I feel like, worth it to note that I felt like, because this is when she did Bigger Than the Whole Sky, people said like, well, nobody knows that that was for Anna. And it's like, well, everybody knows that. All of the Swifties in that stadium,
that
all of the Brazilian fans
that.
Who the song was being played for, all Anna's family knew that. And you on Twitter.com, who are a Swiftie, know that. Everybody recognized exactly what that was for. And I think to say like, well, she didn't say Anna's name. I don't know why she didn't say Anna's name. And neither do you. Neither do you. So mm-hmm. I think that, A, my
it's
biggest
like,
problem
we
with,
need grace.
Yeah, we need, A, we need grace.
We need to give some grace.
And second of all, not every single thought that passes through your head needs to be on Twitter.com. Because a lot of these things that you say, and you say with your full chest, and that get RT'd a million times, like, you will regret them one day. The fact that you said that Taylor was mm-hmm. evil, and that she sucks ass because she didn't say Anna's name before playing Bigger Than the Whole Sky. I don't think that's going to be something that you're proud to have said when 2 days later it comes out that she was doing everything that she actually could do at that time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's why my whole thing was like, wait for the information.
Well, it's like,
wait until this reaches its conclusion. I'm sure Taylor also needs to do her own internal investigation into what happened. How did this happen? Because the story is not clear. There are a lot of different contributing factors to exactly how this took place. But the finer details of what exactly happened and who is responsible for it is still not clear. I trust, knowing Taylor as an artist and being a fan of her for so long, that she is doing her due diligence behind the scenes, and that this is a business and probably also a legal matter that is not going to be resolved in a timely manner and is seriously going to impact her relationship with promoters in Brazil, et cetera, going forward, and also may completely change some of the security protocols that she already has in place for the Eras Tour. I'm sure she's going to be looking at venues again and double, triple checking that something like this can't happen again. So what I'm saying is, I think that to imply that she's doing nothing because she's not saying anything about it to you is naive and immature.
But this is just a general problem on social media. I feel like since it happened, like if it doesn't happen on social media, then it doesn't happen. Like if Taylor's doing something, then it needs to be almost for me. It needs to be for me because I need to see it happening. Even though I, the gringo, am the person who is least important by miles than anybody else. I need to know what Taylor said and when she said it right now. Otherwise, I'm going to get angry, I think is kind of crazy.
It's very narcissistic. There's been a very narcissistic centering of ourselves. And I mean like the proverbial ourselves, not you and me. The ourselves centering our feelings about this at the heart of this matter is very inconsiderate and in poor taste when there is an actual dead person involved. Like this is not to see this scenario being used as like a card or a trick in the gotcha wars on Twitter is really disgusting. And everybody that has such a strong opinion on what should have happened and who should have done what, to me, it's kind of like, I can't make heads or tails of this because I don't have all the information. There's a language barrier. I can't read the original reporting of what happened as well. So it's difficult to form a conclusion when you don't have a complete source of information. And my position, since everyone's been asking us like what our thoughts are, my position on this is I'm going to wait for a while to see if there is an outcome or a conclusion to this.
Well, I think that the story isn't finished either. Like we don't know what the response is going to be, and we don't know who's going to be held accountable. It's still happening, like as we speak. And I think usually it's in bad form to report on a story before the story is even finished. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, nobody knows, especially if you're on a legal matter, Twitter.
You cannot comment on something that's ongoing. So it wouldn't surprise me if Taylor is doing her best to make sure this doesn't happen again from a legal standpoint. You know, there's all sorts of like liability insurance and clauses and contractual things that could very well come into play to hold someone who did something like this accountable. So I'm going to reserve my judgment until I have more information about it. And also, I might just reserve my judgment because it's none of my business.
That's another thing. Like, is this, do we really need to see every single grimy, dirty detail for our...
I don't want to, to be honest.
And I don't want to. And I think we... Yeah.
I think what we need to know as a fandom is how is this not going to happen again?
Exactly.
Because
it is...
Yep. The part of it that's relevant to all of us is we're all going to these shows. We're all going to these concerts. There's a bunch of them lined up for next year. It would make me feel better, to be honest, if Taylor said something about updating security protocols, about being more on top of venues, something like that. That is something that I think would go a long way in this scenario. But again, like when you think about it, each country has a different promoter. Each country has a different venue liaison. Like this is logistically extremely complicated, and I'm sure an ongoing conversation that we may never hear the results of. So yeah, it does frighten me that we have a lot of general admission shows coming up next year. I don't feel good about that.
It is kind of scary to think about just the number of people and going down on that floor. And like, I've been to general admission shows before, of course, and I think everybody has. I've never been to one at that scale. I've only been to small venue shows, like shows in bars where they're general admission. That's the kind of shows that I've been to. And even that, sometimes it gets real hot. It gets very tight. So people can like push up against you, especially because like I'm short and I'm kind of small. Like luckily now I have Mason, but like if you don't have like a friend with you or something like that to help, you can just get smooshed.
Can go real wrong, it can real go fast, because no one cares about you as well. In general admission, it's every man for himself.
Every man for themselves. Nobody gives an absolute fuck about you. They care about the show et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's kind of like a Chicago night one when somebody snuck into our row on the floor. That was, even that was pretty, that was pretty bad. But luckily.
That was, yeah, that was a lot.
The breeze was breezy. It was the windy city.
We could
city.
Leave.
It was the windy city.
We could go, but we could go to the bathroom. We could go and get water.
But that's another thing to consider.
That's the beauty
admission.
Of having seated rows.
If you're up towards the front, even if you're in the middle, it is so, you cannot leave. And in the TikTok story that I was telling you about earlier, he was telling me that, like, he was close to the front, like a couple people back. So he fought to barricade, and security was like, no, you can't come this way. And he was like, well, I can't go back that way. And they were like, no, you have to go back that way. You can't come this way. Even though he was like passing out. So finally, all the people around him just like pushed him up over the barricade. So security had to take him. That's what happened with that. So
this is,
it's scary.
I mean, negligence is like not even the right word.
You have to rely on your fellow Swifties. I mean, I think
and
that
you know what?
We are Swifties.
That's not a hopeful prospect.
It's really not. I'm
that's
sorry
really
to say.
Not a hopeful prospect.
These, like, when, especially if you like front row barricade at the Eras Tour at the Diamond.
It's serious.
Like,
it's serious.
You're not always paying attention to those who are around you, and it's not even like necessarily their fault. Like, if I was front row barricade front, yeah. I mean, I'm not looking around and being like, is anybody passing? Like, I'm not, that's not even on my mind. So I do have concerns, but
well, Singapore is one of the only shows next year that is outside of the US that has seated rows and not general admission. And I would imagine that's because Singapore is extremely hot.
What?
That's why.
So,
like, Singapore is very hot.
How's it?
So they, and it's an outdoor venue. I mean, it's indoor-outdoor, but, like, it's going to be hot as hell in there. And so it's seated. It's got the same configuration as the Eras Tour in the U.S.
Interesting. Something that I read that I kept reading was that, like, this is just how concerts of this magnitude are done in Brazil. Like, they're always general admission. Like, always.
But I'm kind of like, okay, maybe, yeah, they are all general admission, but we are Taylor Swift and we are able to make our own decisions about how things should be laid out. I guess the idea of having a promoter is that they give you the advice on what's best to do wherever you are. That's where the
thing.
Relationship breakdown probably happened. Right. Taylor was like, okay, you're telling me we can do general admission. I trust you. You're the venue that I'm paying that's getting a cut of the proceeds to organize this for me. So for this to turn around and happen afterwards is frightening.
And I do think that to a certain point, it's like when it gets that
too,
hot,
probably.
When it gets that hot, there is no situation where it's safe to be with that many bodies, it just is not, it's never going to be safe to do that, which is exactly why the show was canceled the next day, because it was just way too fucking hot. So hope, I mean, I don't want to like fear monger about the general admission in Europe, but I
just take
I do
care of yourselves.
It's nice to be aware.
And take care of everyone around
it's
you.
It's nice to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
So just
try and be cognizant of how you're feeling, and remember, I just feel like this is good advice for everyone to hear, it's not that serious. Like, you don't need to be passing out to see Taylor Swift. You can see her another time, you can see her another show. She's a young artist with years and years of touring ahead of her. It is not worth it to put yourself in harm's way to get a better view of Cruel Summer.
Exactly.
It's not.
Yep. If you ever start to feel like I'm in an unsafe situation, go to the back. Like, just go. It's I mean, honestly, it'll,
if you get scared, if you don't feel good, take a beat. It's a long show too. This is the other thing.
That's,
the show is longer than a normal show is. It's a lot longer. You're on your feet forever. I mean, when we got to sit a couple of times night one, but we were dead. Like, truly,
we
were in our boots.
But even like,
we were literally
if
in
you're
our boots.
If I'm in my comfortable shoes, if I'm standing up for probably with the openers 4 hours, that's a long time to just be standing in one place, jumping, screaming. Like, you gotta preserve. You gotta preserve. We've talked about this so many times, but I feel like there's such a negative connotation around sitting at shows. I sit. I'm sitting. I will sit. I'm sitting during Champagne Problem.
I'm sat.
We don't need to be standing up. We don't need to be standing up.
No.
I enjoy.
I'm sitting during Marjorie. I got my phone flashlight up and my butt on my seat. I'll be sitting for all of Paramore, mostly, to be honest. That's going to be my journey.
Well,
I'll be up for a couple of songs, but exactly. I'll be sitting because I got to preserve my energy for the main event.
Plus, like,
ordinarily, I'd be up on my feet headbanging the whole time. But no, this is a marathon, not a race.
This is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Thank you. Exactly.
Well, that's our message on the Eras Tour in Brazil. Let's do another jarring transition because I just love to do that. Brian West. In my notes I have, Brian West really is the flop of the century in capital letters.
Where is he?
I mean, where is he?
Where's our Swiftie reporter?
Boots on the ground. Where's the Swiftie reporter?
He got scared.
I went to go look at his... He got scared. He said, my first week on the job and the Taylor Nation is in shambles. And he was not able to rise to the challenge.
No.
What did he do that contributed to this conversation? What original reporting did he manage to conduct as the Taylor Swift reporter? Zero.
He's got big shoes to fill.
I wrote that he's not doing any original reporting unless you count keeping track of the surprise songs as original reporting, which is something that Taylor Swift and Z does faster and before him. Who is he really reporting for? Like, who's reading this?
Nobody.
The stuff that he writes about, we've read on Twitter 2 days before. So it's like, does Mary Beth in Minnesota really care that she did Safe and Sound and Untouchable as a surprise songs? I don't think so.
Well, so I
want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dix.com/scorecardplus for details.
Thanks. So.
I read this article about, like, it was this author who was writing about, like, if there is a Swiftie reporter, which there is, she didn't get into roasting him specifically, kind of a little bit, but she was like, here's what a Swiftie reporter should be doing. And she had this great quote where she said, like, I feel like this is more fan service than it is, like, actually being a Swiftie reporter reporting on Taylor Swift.
100%.
And the person who wrote...
100%.
And the person who wrote this article is a self-proclaimed diehard Swiftie. And this is what she says that we should be talking about. First of all, of course... there should have been something from our Swiftie reporter about what happened in Brazil. Nothing. Crickets. Tumbleweed. She was talking about, what about the underbelly of the
fan base? That's your job. Rise to the challenge.
What about how dark-sided fandom gets? What about that? Because Swifties are definitely up there now. What about the private jet?
What about billionaire?
Anybody? Deep dive into Tree Payne. What is she doing? That's an interesting point. Also, you know what I was thinking?
What's her job?
Other fan bases know the names of their fave's publicist, typically?
I think so. Because they usually have, like, kind of famous publicists.
I had never.
It depends. It really depends on the artist.
And then she also said, where's the money going? She has all this money. Where's it being donated? And then also the scale of fan spending, especially.
These are topics
that I'm interested in as a diehard.
Are the topics covered in my billionaire video, which you have seen.
The Swiftologist.
Literally all addressed.
T-Swift-NZ.
The Swiftologist.
Swiftologist, T-Swift-NZ, and frankly, Eras Tour.
The Lizard Review.
The Eras Tour Twitter. Those are the three we need. And the people who made the Swift Alert
That's
app.
All.
Although I have a bone to pick with those people.
Now that is entrepreneurial. They've started charging,
which
is just inappropriate.
They've
started charging for every part of the fucking app.
Every useful piece of it. I was like, okay, get your bag.
I don't want
fuck
it anymore.
You also.
Now I have a notification saying you're losing me as on streaming. I don't need to know that.
Because T-Swift NZ already told me that.
I saw.
Because she put it on Instagram.
And I have post notifications on for Taylor. So
Brian West is nothing.
10 minutes later.
Brian West isn't even as good as the Swift Alert. Like, period.
Which is now basically unusable.
Yes.
It is. I mean, we were going through his Twitter and it's humiliating. His articles are getting like 3, 4, 5 likes. This was a stunt hire and this position will be eliminated in 1 year when the Eras Tour ends. I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen. They did not do a serious hire for this. With all peace and love to Brian West, he is not a serious journalist, and he does not have the kind of investigative reporting that could really take this role to the next level. He's a broadcast journalist, which I feel like is very different to an investigative reporter. And I mean, it's not looking good for Mr.
West. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. And frankly, we are the people that you need to be impressing. I mean, you might be able to impress the teeny boppers, but not us. Not the the older fans who have been here for a hot minute. I want the
not the
scoop.
Old hags.
I need the scoop, and he's not giving me the scoop.
Not the old hags.
No.
He couldn't get the scoop if he tried. I don't think he knows where the scoop is. That's the problem. This person who wrote the missive on Brian West, this person knows where the scoop is.
She knows.
This person knows what we need to be working on. Brian West does not have the vernacular. He needed to put the shoes back on the rack.
He needs to put the shoes back on the rack. He doesn't fit into the boots.
Worn by someone beautiful.
He doesn't fit into the boots. Mm-mm. So next. Thank you.
Mm-mm. Your big feet knocked those stones out of those shoes. Mm-hmm. That's period exactly what happened. So the Eras Tour film grossed, I think at last count, $250 million against a $15 million budget. Wowza. Wowza. And to celebrate this achievement and to celebrate, Taylor is basically doing what she loves the most for her birthday. Money. Give me more money. I want money. Eras Tour film will be available to rent with the inclusions of The Archer, Long Live, and Wildest Dreams. Why was Cardigan left off?
She doesn't want us to know.
Like, she really hates that song. She ruined it for herself. I really think she did.
She did.
This was about you. She's saying, forget it. It was about nothing. This song doesn't exist, actually. This song is over. This song is canceled. This song is finished. In fact, you're never going to hear it again.
That's how many people
That's exactly
feel.
What happened.
Many people are saying this. Many people are saying Cardigan is over. Because you just had to do a nonsense during it, didn't you? Even she has to admit it's over.
And it's her own fault.
Although, you know, to be fair.
Well, thank God she didn't do it during something excellent like, I don't know, My Tears Ricochet. We can't be ruining that. We
well,
can't
my,
be doing.
My thing is like,
I love you.
I know everybody says like, oh, we don't care. Cardigan's getting cut. But I've actually been very like ambivalent towards it at the shows because I'm so dead by that point. And it's like the last thing before 1989 and the surprise song. So I'm like, let's go. So I was excited to be able
to
sit in my
chair. Yeah, it's time to really pick it
and
up.
And lounge and actually see it.
And peruse it. I mean, it would be nice to hear it with the band.
She won't let me.
In the comfort of my own home.
Yeah.
I mean, will I be renting it? Unfortunately, yes.
Yes.
Well, I'll be pirating it.
I'm going to complain the whole time, but...
yeah, but I'm. But she's going to get my coin, and she's going to charge $19.89, and I'm going to seethe and scream. But I need to see it without... I mean, given what I had to go through to watch it, I need to see it without that.
Precisely. I mean, I had... I mean, not to... You had a wonderful experience your first time, too. I had a pretty nice experience. Mm-hmm. I thought it was all right. I enjoyed it on the big screen. I wish I could have seen it in IMAX, but of course I could not. But
Yeah. Well, I went to IMAX, and you wouldn't be able to tell you were in IMAX because the Swifties were the IMAX.
They were
the Dolby surround sound. Yeah. They were so loud, I couldn't hear the fucking IMAX speakers. Do you know how loud that has to be?
Oh, I can fathom it. I can fathom it.
No, you were at the Eras Tour. It was just like that.
I'm excited. I want to stream it. Well, I'm not going to be streaming. I'm going to be renting it. I'm going to be paying. But here's the thing.
I can't also because it's not available in Singapore.
You're kidding!
Hooray!
So you have to pirate
it.
Well, hooray for you. No, that means only... you escape the icy cold grip of the billionaire check.
The trap.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a lot of people screaming and running and crying and sobbing to defend her right to rent it before it goes on streaming. And I'm like, that boot is so far down your throat. You must have some serious, your tonsils are gone because they have been ground into smush by the sole of that boot going down your esophagus.
Here's the thing is like, I wouldn't mind paying for it if I was receiving a DVD, a Blu-ray. If I had to own it, I would enjoy that.
To rent,
I will pay that. But to rent it, and it's like, I think it is like kind of par for the course for like fresh from the movies, like fresh out of the theaters, movies to cost $20 to rent, but it's like, now this isn't Killers of the Flower Moon. This is not Killers of the Flower Moon.
No,
this is the Eras concert.
That many of us have seen before.
I don't need to be paying that much. Mm-mm. I mean, that's just tea.
And you know, when we gross $250 million at the box office, why the hell do we need to pay to rent?
Can't you give your fans a little bone every now and then? Just a bone.
If you really loved everyone, wouldn't you put it for free on YouTube?
I mean, I'm just saying.
You really loved your fans?
I'm just saying. Or at least give me a facking DVD. I mean, for fuck's sake, I'd buy it.
Give me a poster.
Give me a poster.
Something to put on my wall.
Something. Give me something.
She is, I mean, the greed of it all. And we're going to get screamed at.
I don't like to think about it anymore. Sometimes I really have been like disassociating. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, let's just focus on the fact that we get to watch the Eras Tour from the comfort of our own home.
We should segue from this into the shitty Black Friday merch. Listen, so I was so I was there physically, and I have said this a million times. Like, I tried.
I didn't see it. Can you explain?
Oh, it was shocking. So here's what happened. So everybody was talking, like, in the days leading up, like, she always does a big holiday drop, and I was excited because I wanted some Christmas Tree Farm merch. I don't have any because usually every year I think it's butt ugly. So every year I'm waiting with bated breath. Maybe this year it'll be something that I wouldn't mind spending my coins on. Well, here they go. Oh, the store's up. The store's up. I go in. What do I see? It's the Lover House with a tree out front. This was actually cute. Okay. I have to admit, the tree with all the ornaments on it was cute. I clapped. I cheered. It was nice to see them, like, give a fuck instead of just like, money, please. Like, they actually, like, did something cute that was interactive. So I enjoyed that. But then it's like every single album and era, including Christmas Tree Farm, by the way, had a section. And every section, I'm not kidding you, I don't think you guys realize how much it was. Every section, Reputation, Evermore, Folklore, had at least 30 items in it. At least. That's clothing.
New items?
New
items?
There was not. I remember the Folklore merch and I remember the Evermore merch most specifically. And I didn't see any repeats. It was all.
What was
new
that?
Merch.
And did you buy anything?
No, they tried to get me though. So there was. I went into the Reputation store. Of course I did. I mean, what's this?
Yeah, well.
So
yeah,
I went into
I got a look.
And they had a hoodie that said, there will be no explanation. There will just be Reputation. And I was like, bye, bye, bye. So I tried to buy it and it was sold out. And I got to the page and it said it's sold out. And I was like, it was like a glass of cold water had been poured over my head. Yep. And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I here?
Thank you.
So you know what I did? And I wish I was wearing some of it today, but unfortunately I didn't. Instead of buying from the store, which was overrun with animals, I went to Etsy.com and I purchased myself some off-brand when I was closing out, I had two things in my cart. I had the Reputation, There Will Be No Explanation hoodie, and I had a Cruel Summer pullover. As you guys know, I've said this many times. If there's something that has Cruel Summer on it, I'm probably going to buy it.
You want it.
That total was about $150. On Etsy, I bought relatively the same things at better quality, and it only cost me a grand total of $70 for both. So that's just to put it in perspective.
Well, here's the thing. It's drop shipping. It's from the China factory with the little children.
I saw.
And three fingers sewing together the merch. Enough.
And
no more.
I saw with my own two eyes. They were posting this proudly. People posting their receipts from Taylor Swift, store.taylorswift.com.
I saw with the tree decorations.
Ornaments. Sweaters.
I hate to tell other people how to spell their money, but what's going on at home?
That was shocking. The most money I have ever spent, she got me this time. And I always admit, I was Boo Boo the Fool. I bought all of the versions of Folklore. And that was like $200 that
idiotic.
I spent. Idiotic. But you know what? At least I wasn't buying
ornaments.
But that's not
the worst.
I was buying ornaments when
you
can go to Target.
This is very rich of me to say, having just spent roughly $300 on vintage Taylor Swift t-shirts. Mm-mm. But you know what? But those hold their value. They're going to go up. They're good quality. They're heirlooms. Vintage. Heard of it?
Heirlooms. Vintage.
That's literally just another delusion. That's
but
just another way of saying
I actually support the vintage t-shirt collecting because, A, you're not those were made.
Well, I'm Greta Thunbergologist.
Precisely.
Hello?
By comparison to these other girlies, you are Greta Thunberg. Seriously. I'm not even kidding.
I am saving the planet.
Well, and the other thing is
and
that
what would they know about that?
This is a holiday drop. This is what really kind of grinded my gears. This is a holiday drop. They are marketing it like these are gifts that you can give your loved ones, your Swiftie, your local Swiftie, your Swiftie friend, your daughter, etc., a Christmas present. And guess what it says when you close out? We'll ship on January 10th.
This
enjoy that.
This is the experience of being an American Swiftie. Truly. It is, you are just slapped and punched and spat on and
oh my gosh,
locked up.
I just remembered
every 5
something.
Seconds. You're cattle.
Okay, so I saw something last night. I had to look away from this because I was trying to go to sleep. And if I read something that gets my blood pressure up, I will not be able to rest. So, but I saw this, and this person claimed, this was in a thread, and I don't want to get into the specifics of what the thread said, but they claimed.
I think I know about your thread, because I think I went on a Twitter space and ranted about
it. Oh, did you?
Thread.
Oh, I need to check that out. Did you save it, the Twitter space? I need, because if it is, she started the thread by saying, she
the merch
traded
is,
her masters
is Taylor's ick
for the merch. Is that true? Do you
yes.
know that? It is?
Yes.
Oh.
No.
No,
no
oh,
it's not.
It's not
no, it's not. And someone asked her in the replies, they said, how do you know that the first point is true? And she basically said, this is something that we've known of since the Lover era.
Who knew that?
Because we know that she switched merch providers. And we also know that at the same time, she got control of her masters. Ergo... And I was like,
so you just made that
no,
up?
No,
you
not
just
ergo.
Made that up.
Not
you can't
just
do
made
that.
That.
You
up.
Cannot. I know
this
you're
is what I'm saying.
Gagging to
fake
believe
news.
That, but that makes no
and it
sense.
It was the indignance of that thread that really pissed me off because the thesis of it was Taylor Swift is a woman,
and
because
so
of that,
you can't
she
say
should be
that.
A billionaire.
Well, here's and this is what I said. This is, and I repeat this, and I repeat this, and I repeat this. Capitalism is bad, whether a woman is doing it or not, and they hate it when I say
well,
that.
Well, they literally said you can't blame everything on you can't blame you can't associate Taylor with late stage capitalism
because she's a woman
because of how much she's succeeded in a male-dominated industry.
What was the quote that
and
made
I'm like,
me
now, who
see
Who's kidding
red?
At this point? Who are we kidding? Taylor Swift is the most popular artist in the world. To argue that she is somehow oppressed in a business sense by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, they've been listening
she's the
to,
fucking apex predator.
They've been
she's
listening
the
to
apex
the man.
Predator. She's eaten all the other little bitches alive.
Well, if she was a man, then she'd be the man. And it's like...
She is the man. This is what no
I
one
don't
understands.
Even get, like...
She... Is
how
the man.
Are they figuring out how to apply like gender politics to billionaires?
It's crazy.
I don't understand
no,
where
it's
they're
so
getting
sick.
That. Like that
the
is
way
not...
they use and this person, the person that wrote this was 27 years old, Madeline. I thought that this was gonna be like a teeny bopper. No, no, no. This is a 27-year-old person who said the craziest. It was like you took one intro to philosophy class in college, dropped it, and became a dance major, and then you just used those four words that you learned over and over to make any point that supported Taylor Swift.
Well, it's like it was really to me. It was like 2012 Tumblr feminism to me. So it's like that makes sense for the age group. I have to be honest with you, but like when she said, like you, if you are claiming that it's wrong for her to have that much money, then you are
it's
undercutting
pure misogyny.
Yeah, pure misogyny.
That
you are
was
undercutting
the quote. Pure
female
misogyny.
Success. You are undercutting female success.
Yeah, that was like, that killed me. That killed me.
What is not clicking
well,
to you
when
people?
You say? When you say hate tweets about the evolution of a snake, you are undercutting the success of a snake-owned business. How about that?
You know what? This is
that?
Like this is a
the first
a gay-owned
business owned by a snake in the world
and a woman-owned business, and you, sir, madam, are just upsetting it. This is for the gays. This is for the girls. This is for the theys. This is for the hers.
The snakes.
And you are devaluing my success.
You're
so,
taking our masters and
period.
You're, what if we were the man?
What if we, what
you
if,
thought about that?
Did you ever think about the fact that if I was a man, then I'd be the man?
you know, what is it like to brag about raking in dollars? We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know.
You know who would know? You know who would know? Money, please.
Money, please.
Money, please. That.
No.
Kills
they
me.
They hate us.
New bit just dropped.
New bit just dropped.
New bit just
Money,
dropped.
Please.
Money, please. Okay, so speaking of money, please, an article that I read, that Madeline also read, that we thought was very interesting was a missive written in the Wall Street Journal about giving thanks to Taylor Swift and an argument for why she should be the Time Person of the Year. So before I read this, I was like, what is the significance of Time Person of the Year? Surely no one cares about that. Surely it's not a big deal. Turns out it actually is kind of a big deal.
People care.
People care.
Did you Google?
And it's
and
been
like
going on since 1927.
People like voting?
Yeah. Oh, I looked.
Like getting into it.
I looked. Well, you can't vote. You can vote for the popular. So they have a popular vote. And then they choose who the person of the year is. Well, easy. She wins any popularity contest. So as far as I can tell, Taylor would be the first female musician, or at the very least, a pop star to hold this title. It usually goes to like politicians, activists, and entrepreneurs. So it would be a really big deal for her to get it because they haven't had a pop culture figure in a while. Last year, it was The Spirit of Ukraine was the person of the year.
It can be whatever you want it to be.
Before that, it was Kamala Harris. It was Biden. Before that, it was Trump. It was Angela Merkel.
Well, here's the thing is that like the person of the year isn't always like the person that everybody likes. I think right now the front runner is Elon Musk.
Well, yes.
So it's like the person who has
he,
had
no,
the
he
most
got it
influence.
Already. Can't be him. He got it last year.
Oh, no shit.
Or the year before. He's already been person of the year.
So
Taylor is a serious contender for that. And you know what? If they don't get it, then they need to listen to the man.
Well, exactly.
If she doesn't get it,
that's exactly.
Then, you know, what's it like
exactly,
to brag about exactly, raking dollars and getting
exactly,
it, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
That's
period.
That's just the facts
I mean,
of the matter.
Period.
But I thought that it was interesting, and to be honest, from an objective point, Taylor is the person of the year.
Well, here's what I easily was thinking is that like I was wondering what the reaction to it would be. Of course, everything she does is polarizing, but it's like a lot of what she cited was like, oh, female joy, obviously we love. And then also the money that the Eras Tour is bringing in, like stimulating the economy. There is another lady out and about town who has had a massive tour and is also pretty influential. And her name is Miss Beyonce. And it's like, once again, just because they are the two women who are at the top and doing the goddamn thing, they are going to be pitted against one another. And I think it sucks so bad. I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it. Because
we can't get away from that.
No, we can't get away from that.
They'll never stop.
But I think a case could be made for both of them. I have to be told. I know I'm a Swiftie and I have like a certain bias, but like I think either one of them I would be very happy to see getting Time Person of the Year because Barbie was the
Taylor.
Other person that I said. I said Barbie could be an I just got women.
Oh, that would be cool.
Women.
That would be cool. Yeah. Barbie would be cool.
Barbie would be a cool one.
Barbie would be cool. I think, I don't know, I think with the Taylor's Version project, that makes Taylor a much more compelling pick for me. Like it's the confluence of things. It's Midnights, it's the Eras Tour, it's the Taylor's Versions, it's the Travis Kelce of it all. And this article was a little unhinged.
Okay, can I read you? Okay,
what did you think
I have. I saved a part of it. There's one part of it I really liked. It is unhinged, but so am I. Remember, I told you this read like I wrote it, especially like in a state of psychosis. Like if
yeah.
I was like full Swiftie.
Well, there's a part where she says "Onward, Travis Kelce," and I was like, Madeline wrote that.
Madeline
it says "Onward, Taylor Swift," and then "Onward, Travis Kelce." Period.
So she says this is about like whether or not people think Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift is real or not. She said, but here are the reasons people would like it to be real. Because it makes life feel more magical. The prince meets the princess. Because it's sweet. Because if it's real, then not everything is media management, which is the thing that deep down we always fear. And that is my favorite line. If it's real, then not everything is media management, which is the thing deep down we always fear. And I feel like right now is a time where it feels like every single fucking thing is just fake. Like everything is manufactured. Everything you see is being manipulated.
AI,
you always have
AI.
To wonder, is this real? Was this AI generated? And it's like exhausting sometimes to have to constantly wonder, like, am I being lied to? Is this a manufacturer? Are there a dozen people behind a door that
what
I
are they
can't
trying
see?
To get me
what are
to
they
do
trying to get me to buy
to think?
What are they selling me? Is this really just the NFL just like trying to get more women to watch football or some bullshit like that? And it's like sometimes I just want to believe that they're just really in love. And does that make me stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But I just want to have something nice. and cute and fun.
You want to have a kiki.
That makes me smile. Is that so wrong? I'm sick of these people who are constantly like, it's PR. It's PR. I don't care. Write that down. Okay?
I'm having fun.
I'm having fun. Ever heard of it?
Having fun. I'll do you one better. I mean, the end of that passage, I also put that down because I thought it was excellent. If it's real, it adds to the sum total of love in the world, literally increases its quantity, and the love enters the air and the world breathes it in and for a moment becomes better. And I feel like that speaks to what a chaotic and horrible year this has been on so many counts for the world. And I feel for the past couple of years, ever since the pandemic, really, it seems like life has been coming apart at the seams. And like what we have known to or have presumed or taken for granted to be true about life and about the way the world works has just kind of slowly been dismantled. And everything has just gotten shittier. Like clothes, products, jobs, experiences, like experiences that you pay for. The quality of everything has just become a little bit shittier. It's like we're in the Hobby Lobby era of the world, and it's not – everything's on discount, bargain basement. Like, it's not good. So I think that what's nice about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing is that it is, in a very heteronormative way, a super familiar tale. It's reassuring. It's like – head cheerleader dates captain of the football team. Not to bring it back to high school the way that Taylor Swift always loves to do, but there's like a trope and a story here that is reassuring to people because it's familiar and it's like movie-esque and it's too fairly likable and unproblematic, depending on who you ask, too very like charismatic and I would say plain and simple, girly and boy-y. That's what they are.
So that's what people want to see.
And it's reassuring. That's
the truth. They want to see two really attractive story, baby. White people kissing on the football field. That's
no
what they
strife.
Want. That's what they
just
want.
Just fun.
There's nothing.
They're not fighting. Nope. They're not trying to make a statement.
And the men,
it's
the
just
men who are in the kissy. Stands, who cry and whine, everybody hates you and they think you suck.
Everyone hates you. Yeah. They do. And everybody loves Tavis. Like random people that aren't Swifties love Tavis. Like colleagues at work, what's going on with Tavis? And I'm like, you know better than me. I don't know.
Oh, I know.
I'm not. Everyone's like, did you hear? Can I be honest? I've never really heard Travis Kelce speak. I've never listened to the podcast.
Oh,
I've seen transcripts of it, but I haven't listened.
That's so random of you. I've seen it.
And isn't he like talking about her?
He does. Is, right? He's like his brother her, asked kind of. Him about her. Like, I, this is the thing about it that like sometimes
Madeline,
it
we becomes... need to storm the beaches of Normandy and get in that room and get on the mic and ask him some questions.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly
Can
what
I ask
saying.
You a question? Can we I should just shoot our question? Shot and reach out to him and ask him to come on the pod.
I wonder if he would say yes. I mean, he podcasts every week. Why don't you come on ours? You're already in the room.
We show up and all of a sudden he's like this with his earpiece. My publicist told me not to answer any personal questions. My boss said to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I think that like a huge part of what it is about this that's so insane is like, first of all, she's hot off the heels of Joe Alwyn, who didn't let her go outside. And then second of all, this is so
hate him.
They're talking about her on the podcast. She's at the game and then he's at Argentina and he's super nice to everybody that he sees and he's hanging out with her dad and she's hanging out with his mom and et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, it is an oversaturation of media. And I think we were talking about this before or after we started recording, but I was like, she needs to not go to another football game for a while because people are starting to turn. They're starting to turn.
And we want
They're
this to be precious.
To
we want her
we
to be
want
America's
it to be
sweetheart.
Fun.
And she is.
Fun. Yep.
Right now, she's America's sweetheart. Let's keep it that way, baby.
Well, I'm going to
Let's
tell
hibernate.
You this. Here's something that I want to say.
Let's do some research on where we can hide. I know places we can hide. Find them.
I want to be so crystal clear about this. If they break up, I'll kill myself. That's where I'm at mentally. So I need them to start really considering what oversaturation of media. What oversaturation of media will do to their relationship. Because I'm invested and I'm in it. I don't care what
Not
anybody
things.
Says. I need this to work.
He bought a new house. He bought a new house.
Yeah, and to
you
him
know who
it
else
was
bought
like,
a new house for a new relationship that quickly crashed and burned?
Taylor.
Ms. Swift.
That was called the Connor Kennedy 2012. Effect. That was the Connor Kennedy effect.
So I don't know if we should really be, I mean, I support it because it seems like she's happy and I'm always seated for more Taylor content. But at the end of the day, like, I think my position of I don't care who Taylor dates truly withstands the sands of time. Like, I don't care about who she's dating when she's dating them. Then afterwards, I hate them because they've broken up with her or she's
I'll kill
up
him if they break up.
And that's
I'm
the Swifty,
the
right? Exactly.
I don't care what she does to him.
I've, again, as I told you, I've already started thinking about all the mean things I'm going to say when they do break up. Like, he's cooked. He's already been cooked in my brain. Like, I'm ready. I have – it's locked and loaded. Those tweets gave me everything I needed to know. Like, it's – I'm ready to go for his literacy. I'm ready to go for his – like, I know. I know where I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go for the too many concussion. Like, I know
exactly
– Well,
he needs to be thinking about that because I think he must be hyper aware of the fact that if they break up, then he is public enemy number one. And it's over. I mean, look what happened to Maddie Healy.
We always say – We had a conversation about this not a long time ago where we said these stupid men always think that they're going to be the one boyfriend that doesn't become the Taylor Swift ex-boyfriend. And like clockwork, they all become a turkey of some description. Who has truly gotten off scot-free? Not one. Not one.
Not one. Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it right now. I mean, it's like the closest
Tom Hiddleston got humiliated.
But he was cooked like a
humiliated.
But he's still the favorite.
The media cooked him regardless. If we don't do it and if Taylor doesn't do it, then the media does it. It's something to behold. The Tay Voodoo, to be so arrogant as to think that you may be exempt from the Tay Voodoo when you come so close to its source is kind of crazy.
That's really
when you get that
crazy.
Close to the center,
I wonder if he's ever heard
the axis
term
of the voodoo.
Voodoo. Well, I feel like it's a popular
if
term.
He lets us on the pod.
I feel like it's a popular term.
He needs to bring us on, and we can give him a crash course. We can tell him how to date Taylor. We can tell him what she likes. We can tell him what she needs.
Yeah,
we can tell him what she didn't get from her last relationships. We know. Come on.
We know
let
exactly
us
what it
in.
Is. But I wonder if that's actually a really interesting point. Do you ever think, like, somebody who's like a new Taylor boyfriend, do they consult the sacred texts to see what they should not do?
I think Joe would do. And that was a big mistake. I think that was a big mistake. But because I don't think Joe was even really that interested in what she wrote about him, which is crazy. Can you imagine having the greatest songwriter of our generation writing songs about you and you're like, eh.
He was
whatever.
A little piggy. He's a fucking
death.
He's over.
Death.
He's over.
We're not
and
letting him
it.
Rock anymore. And there's no
it.
More pardons.
No. He's over.
Thanksgiving. This was the last pardon he got. Next Thanksgiving. Oh, girl. Get the deep fat fryer. Get the deep fat fryer.
We're deep
frying
a turkey this
year. We're going to put our hazmat suits on. Word. I think that, I mean, it's interesting. I wonder, I definitely don't think that Travis Kelce is smart enough to have thought about what might happen if this doesn't end. I also think he didn't expect her ever to text him back. That really is like the
him.
Most the
well,
crazy thing of it all.
There was
it gagged
a,
him.
There was
he's
a video,
still gagged. It's been months and he's gagged.
There was a video of him from years ago, like when I don't surmise to know when, but like at least 5 years ago, 2017 or 2016, I think it was, where somebody asked him who his celebrity crush was and he said Taylor Swift. I mean, he's been cooking this for...
Manifesting.
He's been
maybe he's maybe he's more ready than we ever thought. I mean, he knew that if he wanted to get her attention, he'd have to go to a show and bring her a fucking friendship bracelet. So he's clocked in to some extent.
He's a curious individual.
But didn't he say one of his favorites? Didn't he say his favorite Taylor Swift song was something really basic, like "Love
it's
Story"
blank
or "You
space.
Belong with Me"?
He loves
imagine
blank
if
space.
It's blank.
He
you
loves
know what?
That.
I'm
song.
Ready for the day. I'm ready for the day when she is a boyfriend that comes out and says, my favorite song is I Heart Question Mark, or my favorite song is The Way I Loved
cut.
You.
Yeah, no,
give us something rogue. Be a stan with your whole chest. I don't think that Travis knows all the words to any song, let alone a Taylor Swift song.
No, well, he...
I think he can hum. He can tap his foot, but that's about it.
What I keep thinking of is the video of him.
He's not. When Tolerate It comes on, it's elevator music.
Oh, no.
He's like,
he
wow,
know
this song
on.
Is a really fun, good song.
He doesn't know
this
what's
is
going
a great
song.
And meanwhile, you and me sobbing on the floor. Life ruined. Life over.
That's what she needs. She needs somebody who has no fucking concept of what is a curry.
Whereas Joe, I'm sure, was like, well, I just think that, you know, the third person perspective in the second verse is just blah, blah, fucking blah. Shut up. Shut up, turkey. Get back into your cage. I'm sick of his ass. I hate him. I'm over it.
He's over.
I am over. He's Jover. He really is so Jover.
You know what baffles me is people who are like, you guys all turned on Joe. It's like, yeah, I turned on him. He's nothing. Nope. He's nobody.
He's nothing.
He could
What's
die
the turn
tomorrow.
On?
I wouldn't know a thing. I don't care.
The only
Why
thing I
you?
Liked about him was that he was dating Taylor Swift.
And
now he's
even,
not doing
and
that
I didn't
anymore.
Even like
so...
that. And I didn't even like that.
It wasn't even interesting.
No.
In hindsight, what did it give us? Well, you know, it did. It gave us Cruel Summer. So, I mean, we have to clap and cheer
for
a little
well,
bit.
I mean,
but that's
you know
for
what?
Taylor. It's not for Joe.
That's
this,
for us.
This is what the toes don't understand. You can clap for the Joe content, but you don't have to clap for the turkey. You can still put the turkey in the deep fat fryer and sing Cornelia Street.
My favorite meme
yes, you can.
Is
I'm
when,
here to tell you.
Like, I don't know, for example, Scott Switch is wearing a Kansas City Chiefs lanyard and somebody goes, you didn't see people wearing a Conversations with Friends lanyard. That's like my favorite meme. I love it. You didn't see anybody chanting Conversations with Friends when Taylor walked into a restaurant, did you?
Cricket.
Nope. Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, also, Joe was so unfriendly to fans as well. Like, he was not fan friendly. He was not nice. He refused to speak on her at all. And it's like, to an extent, I understand. But like, when are you going to accept the reality that you're dating the most famous person in the world? I mean, he couldn't.
Well, and it's
every
like,
morning I glared at you with storms in my
what
eyes.
A day. Speaking of, I mean, you're losing me on streaming. We have to clap. We have to cheer. I still haven't
gotten
to stream it.
Clap.
We have to clap.
She's so crazy. You know, she was like, how can I thank you for making me Spotify's top global artist? I would like to celebrate this extremely happy occasion by putting the third plane of my discography
on streaming.
Streaming.
I haven't heard it in a very long time because if I can't stream it, it doesn't exist to me, which is bad.
It kills me.
I'm sorry. I know how
I've been listening
it is.
To bootleg podcast uploaded episodes of the song.
Yeah.
That's how desperate I've been.
And now we don't have to do that anymore. I mean, it's been a long journey. It has been such a – it's been what? May, June,
we did
July,
it, Joe.
August, September, October,
we did it,
November,
Joe. Literally, we did it, Joe.
We did it, Joe. Thank you, Joe. This is one thing.
Let
you,
me
Joe.
Grab that turkey by its gobble.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
It,
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I just think it's hilarious. She's like, let's celebrate this extremely momentous occasion with a song about me wanting to die. Anybody want to get up and cheer for that? Yes,
anybody?
Is the answer.
Well, see,
now
that it's
I'm
like
here.
Officially like a song that's out in the world, it's a candidate, I feel, more than ever for surprise songs. Which, speaking of, we should get into that. Look, I told you bitches time
Wait,
and time
first
again.
First of all, you're losing me. I just want to note on streaming is not on Midnights. It's a single. It's not on the Midnights Till the Dawn edition, of which it was an exclusive physical bonus track. It's a single, which
well,
I
just-
don't – understand.
The thing about Midnights, and
She's
I made
dumb.
This analogy on the Lizard Review, it's literally like the city of LA. It's massive. There's different compartments that you never
just,
know. Yeah, they're
like
just adding things
different,
onto it,
random,
just expanding.
The roads
expanding.
Don't go together.
Exactly.
The public transport doesn't work. Yeah. You can't get from one side to the other. Yeah.
I mean, I'm
totally.
Enjoying
That's
it.
That's a great
but
analogy.
I would like to ask for Midnight's
I'd like
end.
To just drive down the street in one direction.
It just feels like it's
That's
never
like.
Going to stop or end the Midnight's era because she just keeps going like addendum, addendum, addendum. And it's like, well, I'd
and
rather.
And one more thing.
I'd rather have something fresh.
New album?
New
Queen?
Album? Queen?
New album? Queen? Spare album? Where's the album?
And I think, well, I mean, RepTV, that's incoming, but probably in the next, I think in the next 5 months, RepTV will be available. I don't know how she's going to do debut TV. I can't. If I were her, I would just drop it because. But she might
yes,
be like, well,
me
they've
too.
All been so
I would
so
just
successful.
Drop it on the last day of tour.
But it's like, I don't foresee debut
yeah.
TV being like a big hit, especially not after.
I do. Everyone's that. Insane.
I don't know. You're right.
It's the last
I
one.
Mean, I've
I think
said
it will
this.
Benefit from the last. It'll benefit from the momentum of being the final completed project. If I were Taylor, what I would do is I would release debut and I would immediately release a documentary about the process of making the re-recordings and do like a promo blitz, do a bunch of interviews, maybe do a sit down with, I don't know, Diane Sawyer, someone of that nature, and talk about who was the person she did the original interview with, where she was asked, would you consider doing it again? And she was like, oh, absolutely.
Was
imagine she revisits that person and has the same conversation again.
Gail?
No. Was it? Maybe it was Gail. No, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
It was a white lady, but I can't remember.
Oh, was it? All I remember is smirk she got on her face when she said, oh, yeah, smirked. Do you remember? This is niche.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when people were like, why do you guys think that she's actually going to re-release her albums just because she said so? And it's like, she's never said something.
And we were like, well, yes.
Like, she has never.
She is not one to say something and not follow through.
Exactly.
She really isn't. She won't make promises she can't keep. That's why when she said, when we even were aware of All Too Well 10, she quickly said, it's never coming out. I don't know where it is. It's on a lost disc somewhere. It's not happening. That's why it was such a gag when we found out that it was coming, because she had vehemently denied its existence. But I digress. You wanted to talk about surprise songs. Please go ahead.
Well, what I wanted to say was that I told you bitches. I told you so, et cetera, et cetera. I informed you quite plainly, et cetera, et cetera. I was right, et cetera, et cetera. I knew that she was going to reset the surprise songs after the final show in Brazil. I just knew it. I was like, dude, I mean,
and thank God for that. Because we would have been left with...
I made
nothing.
A short
beautiful
list.
Ghost.
Well, I wanted to use the Swift Alert app to take stock very easily of all the songs she has, not all of them, that she
too
has
bad.
Not played.
Well,
but guess
Brian
what?
West.
Pay $2.
Brian West actually does have that information for you.
Oh, thank you,
if
Brian
you
West.
It.
Well, but I made a list of notable songs that she didn't play, songs that I was surprised that she didn't play. Of course, my number one, I mean, maybe this doesn't shock anybody else, but it shocked me. She never played Hoax, which is good for me because she played it at a time I wasn't there. I would nuclear reaction.
Yeah, I was kind of scared for the day that I would get the text, because who's on the brunt of that? Me.
And then after that is Peace. She's played every other song about Joe. Why not Peace? You know what I'm saying? She never played Peace. She never played Foolish One. Long story short, where? The Way I Loved You, where? That actually surprised me.
My God.
And then the last one I had that I thought was pretty surprising, I'm sure nobody else thinks so, is It's Nice to Have a Friend. I was like, why didn't you play that one? Because
that's not surprising to me at all.
Well, it surprised me. Some of us like it.
That one would have slayed on the piano. She did me. It. So it's like, if we're going to do me, we can do It's Nice to Have a Friend. Songs that no one's asking for. I forgot that you existed. Nobody asked. I literally haven't seen a single person ask for that song.
She played it.
She did?
She did, yes. She played it. I don't remember where, but she played it in
Cricket.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are clapping and cheering. I feel
now
like
now that
it was
we have
in...
repeats on the table, what do you want?
I want the very first
London
night.
Night
she can go fuck herself
want?
For that. I want the very first night. I told you this. I've told you. The very first night. The
yeah.
very first night.
Very first
if I don't
night.
Get it.
And London Boy. We need
London Boy. I wouldn't.
I need London Boy. Has she done London Boy? I don't think she's done that.
Well, she hasn't done Paris either.
Well, she's saving it.
She's saving it, of course.
She's saving
I
those.
Mean, you have to do Paris in Paris.
Inshallah, she's saving it for
like
us.
Like we were somewhere else, et cetera, et cetera.
I need Holy Ground expeditiously. I mean,
you know what?
I just do.
I would
it's
really
for
want.
Me.
I think
that's what
I'm releasing because, like, just. Wanting specific songs is like so disappointing, but like what I want truly is songs that surprise me, like actually gag me, that aren't
yeah well I wish you would gagged us
oh we were gagged.
I wish you would really did gag us gag. We were like it wasn't like we discussed so many possible combinations, because you always think of your dream, you never think of the surprise dream, the accidental sleigh. Honestly, Now That We Don't Talk would have gagged me.
Yeah, that would have been
on the guitar. It sounded so good. I mean, the Is It Over Now Out of the Woods mashup. She's insane.
That was crazy.
We should have had that. That should have been
that
should have been
was
us.
Crazy.
That really should have been
that
us.
That really should have been us. We should have been in Brazil that night.
Mm-mm.
That was crazy.
Please come to Brazil. Yeah. We will. If we can count on that being there.
Surprise song reset, and I'd be happy with. I mean, I want You're On Your Own, Kid, but that's unlikely for some reason. I don't know why. It just seems like that's
never
going to happen.
Give it to us on the guitar. Let's mix it up. I want her to flip them over. Let's do the piano songs on the guitar and the guitar songs on the piano so that we have a version of everything. Because if this was a movie, on the piano didn't do it for me. I'm sorry. It didn't do it. It was giving Rushed. It was giving not dramatic enough. I need her to be hitting that guitar. I need her to be strumming, picking. Hello. We need it.
Meanwhile, my greatest dream came true for other people, which is that she did So It Goes on the Piano. And I thought that that was kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Now that was a diva down really moment. Fucked up. That really was.
That was fucked up.
Diva in hell.
That was really fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't express that enough.
It's like when she did Dress on the Guitar. I couldn't do it. That was horrible for me. Imagine we got Dress and So It Goes. Now that would serve.
See, now that is a combination.
What if we got a Reputation vault song?
Yeah. Then you would all realize.
That's a thought.
That's a thought.
Then you would realize. I would love Better Man. I mean, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to be grappling with the reality of getting castles crumbling, which I do not want.
Well, here's what I think.
Don't give it to me.
And this is true every time.
If that's taking the place of Long Live, then I'm seriously going to do something drastic.
I think it'll be on the set. Whether she'll remove something from the set to put it on, I'm not sure. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak to that. I mean, we'll know soon enough. I mean, is she? Who's opening in Singapore, Zach? Is Paramore opening in Singapore? Or no?
No. My nemesis is opening in Singapore.
Is it Gracie?
Sabrina.
Oh, Miss Sabrina is opening. Okay.
You're turning into a Sabrina Carpenter stan, by the way. I see it happening slowly but surely.
I'm not
on your Twitter.
Listen.
And don't think that I'm not noted. Don't think that I don't see that.
All right.
I see it.
Listen, I'm not becoming a stan. I've never really disliked her.
Do you
her.
Just think she's a sexy lady?
Well, shit. First
is
of
that all,
who would deny or- that? Who would deny that? I mean, who's
she
saying?
Is a sexy
she
lady.
Is, she is a sexy lady.
But I'm wondering,
she
like,
serves,
do you think
looks.
That she is a good artist?
I don't think that she's had very... No. Did you listen to her Christmas EP?
Okay,
it was... No. Everybody was like, oh my God.
I would never do
I
that.
I love the concept. And I liked the concept, too. It's called Fruitcake. So it's like... The concept was like all the bad things about the holidays, like a fruitcake. And it was just a little EP. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Not okay. executed well, as usual.
She always has
as
a good
usual.
Concept, but she can never
exactly.
do it. Yeah. I mean, the emails I can't send was an interesting visual thing that she came up with. It's just we fail at
she
the
needs,
hurdle, which is insisting on writing our own songs.
She needs a team.
That is what we need to stop doing.
She needs a different team.
She needs Tate McRae's team. Yeah, she needs Tate McRae's team.
She does. She does.
She needs Slay McRae. That's what we're going to start calling her. Slay McRae.
Slay McRae.
Who literally can't help but slay. I watch that Billboard performance multiple times a day.
Well, I mean, it gives cunt. And not everybody understands that. Oh, but she said to me, she's not singing. I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't give a fuck.
That's
what do you
literally
care?
Not why I'm here.
That's not why I'm here. I'm here to see the sleigh. I'm here to see the
I will love myself.
And she's fucking ripping it. Baby, damn it! What's wrong with that?
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Can't a girl do a little dance and sing not very much? Can't she?
Selena Gomez could take a note. She should take a note. Because if there was
well,
less
she,
singing.
She can't dance like that.
Well, not many people can.
It would be better.
This
sometimes
people,
less singing is more singing, if you really think about it.
Well, people have been saying that, like, I've heard this multiple times, that she sings like Gracie Abrams sings. And I was like, okay, here's, I'll take the note. Like, I can see what you mean. But the thing is that Tate McRae opens her vocal cords and uses them. So, yes, mm-hmm. there is a little bit of Gen Z singing.
I will one myself. Have you heard her? Belt that out.
And
it's
where,
one line,
Gracie,
but she belts.
I would like to see belts. Gracie Abrams do the choreography. Let's see that.
Greedy. Give it.
I want to see
yeah,
it. Let's
show
see
me that.
Gracie do it. Just humor me.
Mm-mm. She can't.
She can't.
No, she's reading the lyrics off her phone. They're in different areas.
That is truly something
one
that
is a
she
workhorse,
will never escape
and one
from.
Is a Nepo baby.
She will never escape from
that. That is the Nepo baby experience, is to get on stage and read the lyrics from your phone. That's the only person that could do that and get away with it is Ms. Del Rey. That's it. Only
does she
her.
Do that with her own songs?
She did it with when she covered Ariana Grande's Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored. And she literally hit her phone like this.
Why was she?
And it's the simplest song in the world. And Lana's like, huh?
How? I need to watch
Break
this
up with
expeditiously
your
because I have not seen that.
It's a BBC Live Lounge. It's very
it's
funny.
It's recorded?
It.
This wasn't even like on stage?
It's professional. Like it's that's what makes it so funny. It's professionally recorded.
Well,
she's like in a studio looking at the phone. He live in the phone.
That is why. But see, now that's camp when Lana Del Rey does mm-hmm. it, because she has the
when Gracie does when it, Gracie it's does because it, it's flop. That's why
when Gracie does it, she's on stage with Aaron Dessner, her co-writer, her co-maker of her shitty fucking Mm-mm. album, and Mm-mm. she can't bother to Mm-mm. learn the lyrics of the song they're doing together
to write where you left
getting
me.
Her ass nope. up on stage. I understand Right Where You Left Me wrong. Is verbose.
If you're going to insist on doing a cover, did you see Taylor Swift pulling out her phone when she did a different color cover every single night on the Speak Now tour?
Never once.
Did you see a lyric sheet
I
going
would
anywhere?
Rather somebody Mm-mm. mess up the lyrics and just own not having it perfectly down than having their phone in their face.
Taylor's
like
done that many times.
Many times.
Mm-hmm.
She's
Taylor
done
has notably
songs.
Done that with mine more than once. She cannot for the life of her remember the words to mine. No.
And to that I say, well, that's flop. That's her biggest flop. Because
at least you tried.
Mine is the song at of least the generation. And not everybody knows that.
It is.
She doesn't know that.
She doesn't.
No.
She doesn't. Well, on that note, we should probably wrap this up. This is the last Taylor Talk. Wow. What a year it has been.
Yep.
To be a Swiftie, mm-hmm. to be a snake, to be in the snake economy. I mean, we just have to give a big shout out and thank you to all of our listeners for changing our lives this year.
Literally. Yeah.
We salute you.
We salute you. We salute you. This, like, my life at this time last year was completely different than it is at this time this year. I mean, it's crazy. It's literally insane. We are having a freaking kiki all the time. So mm-hmm. I have to say thank you so much.
We're having a bikini foam party every day.
Every single day. A banana cream pie party every single day.
Wet t-shirt contest in the Snake Nation.
Et cetera, et cetera. So yeah.
And subscribe to the Patreon because that's where the juice is. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to attend, if you're listening to this before December 8th, the Snammies, the inaugural Snammies, the Snake Grammy event in which we will be awarding certain artists certain awards. It is the Grammys, but better and voted for and run by the Snakes, who are much better tastemakers than the Grammy Award winners. I haven't looked at who's won. Madeline, do you think there are any shocking, any coups, any things that people might be mad
to
or upset
about?
To tell
you the total truth, no. I have the results, what? And oh, they're wig. Not that shocking. It went.
It's what you would expect.
For the most part. Mm. I mean, there's some, like, there's no, like, wild horses.
I know one of the big ones that some people are going to be really pissed about. I did see you talking about that, and I was like, you'll just have to tune in and find out. We're going to have, it's going to be more than you think it is. It's not just going to be a regular sit down and talk. This is a show. It's a production. It is an award show that you are cordially invited to. We will be in our finery. There will be performances. There might be special guests. You don't know what's going to happen unless you tune in on the Swiftologist channel at 9 p.m. Eastern and get yourself a snack and a drink because it might go late. You don't know with these award shows, traffic, et cetera, et cetera. So you need to just tune the fuck in.
Exactly. Period.
Period. Dude. Period. Goodbye.
Thank
and
you.
God bless.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.